Hello, this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurant Reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And as always, before we get started, just a quick reminder what the ratings mean. 5 stars means extraordinary, 4 stars excellent, 3 stars above average, 2 stars average, and 1 star fair. The first restaurant review I'm going to read is for Vino, and they're located at 1106 Grace Park Drive in Morrisville. Their phone number is 380-8206, and they received 2.5 stars. Step inside, and immediately the chartreuse glow of Vino's backlit bar catches your eye from across the dining room. Looking around, you take in the serpentine granite top bar, glazed concrete floors, and aluminum-framed windows reaching up to a 12-foot-high ceiling. Suspended from that ceiling, near the entrance, a trellis wood frame suggests a grape arbor, sans grapes, in a streamlined allusion to the restaurant's name. Just as you're beginning to pigeonhole Vino as a contemporary restaurant, though, you notice the sheer curtains taking the edge off the stark lines of those windows. Potted ferns further soften the look, as do traditional paintings with a reoccurring wine bottle motif hanging on the parchment walls. So what kind of Italian restaurant is Vino, you wonder, traditional or contemporary? It's both, as becomes evident when you open the menu. The antipasto offering wanders freely from classic prosciutto with melon to trendy grilled polenta cakes with caramelized shiitake and cremini mushrooms. Other starter options include vegetarian minestrone, Caesar salad with a made-to-order dressing, and Prince Edward Island mussels in a rustic brew of fish broth and tomatoes. The obligatory fried calamari gets a more than respectable rendering, though the portion is on the skimpy side for $8. Given the restaurant's culinary ambitions, you might be tempted to pass over the pizzas, and that would be a mistake. Topping options span the globe from Mediterranean, fresh tomato, feta, and pesto, to Hawaiian, ham and pineapple, on an excellent thin, blistery crust that comes a little closer to Naples than New York. The culinary dichotomy becomes more sharply defined when it comes to entrees, which are divided into Old World and New World sections. Under the first heading, the names of dishes are in Italian and take their inspiration from the classics, fettuccine alla bolognese, lasagna pasticcate alla emiliana, salamone alla livornese. New World translates, as you might expect, to Italian-American fare, rendered in English, spaghetti with meatballs, bow-tie pasta with chicken and mushrooms, salmon cipollino style. Regardless of which side of the Atlantic you choose to dip your fork into, chances are reasonably good you'll come up with a winner. Twirl the tines in a plate of spaghetti, and you bring up a skein of al dente pasta and a chunky tomato sauce that owes its bright flavor to the fact that it's cooked to order. Nor will you go wrong with veal and spinach ravioli, which lives up to its signature billing with a surprisingly delicate filling encased in tender pillows of pasta and a subtly sweet Parmesan-tinned mascarpone cream sauce. The ravioli are homemade, as are most of the pastas at Vino. Ricotta-enriched cavatelli, say, with a fresh tomato sauce and mozzarella, or potato gnocchi in a creamy basil pesto, or lasagna, layered with bechamel and a gently seasoned meat sauce under a blanket of molten mozzarella. With salmon as its featured ingredient, Vino's take on cipollini does not pretend to be a faithful rendering of the classic seafood stew, but it's rewarding and captures the spirit of the original with mussels, clams, calamari, and shrimp, slightly overcooked, the only off note in a harmonious combination, in a hearty tomato-based stew. Veal's saltimbocca tempts with the promise of scallopine, prosciutto, and the sage that for many define the dish, but is all too often missing. Dry, chewy veal keep the dish from delivering on that promise. Such serious flaws are mercifully rare, but minor miscues, polenta cakes whose surface falls short of the crispness implied by their crostini description, creme brulee that has picked up stray flavors in the refrigerator, are more common than you'd like to see in a restaurant that has been open since January. Still, hits outnumber misses by a good margin, and General Manager Scott Munro, who joined the team in the summer, is working to smooth out the rough edges. Service is already a notch above the norm. The wine list lives up to the restaurant's name, with a thoughtfully chosen, reasonably priced mix of Old World and New World labels, and a few offbeat surprises, which pretty well sums up the restaurant as a whole. Gambino received 2.5 stars, and they are located at 1106 Grace Park Drive in Morrisville, phone number 380-8206. The next restaurant review is for the Hillsboro Barbecue Company, and they are located at 236 South Nash Street in Hillsboro, phone number 732-4647, and they received 3.5 stars. Hillsboro Barbecue Company's location in a small commercial strip several blocks off the town's main drag is hardly what you'd call prime, but for barbecue aficionados who know that some of the best barbecue is found off the beaten path, that's the first good sign. The next is the aroma of hardwood smoke that greets you when you enter, priming your palate as you take in the stained glass pig over the door, church pews converted to banquets, and other elements that deftly evoke barbecue shack tradition without crossing the line into caricature. A wall-spanning series of enlarged vintage photographs of outdoor barbecue scenes pays tribute to an era when whole hogs were routinely cooked over pits into the ground, dug into the ground. At Hillsboro Barbecue Company, the pit is above ground and made of brick, but pitmaster Tommy Stan cooks the same way as those in the pictures, over hardwood coals without any assistance from gas or electricity. Stan, who started out as a hobbyist, eventually became so passionate about preserving what he sees as a dying art that he gave up his landscaping business to pursue a restaurant career. He teamed up with Matt Fox, owner of the locally popular Wooden Nickel Pub, to open Hillsboro Barbecue Company back in April. Cooking barbecue the old-fashioned way is indeed more art than science, and has taken many people decades to master. Stan sets the bar exceptionally high with an ambitiously broad menu that spans the barbecue map from Eastern Carolina-style whole hog to Texas beef brisket. He hasn't yet attained mastery of the whole repertoire, but he's a fast learner. He has certainly gotten the knack of the whole hog barbecue. Chopped a little coarser than most Eastern-style versions, it arrives minimally sauced, which, for barbecue this inherently moist and flavorful, is all the sauce it really needs. The porky goodness is available as a plate or sandwich. There's a large sandwich option with extra meat, though the regular should be ample for most. Baby back ribs are first-rate, too. Smoky and meaty with just the right amount of chewy, tender bite, they're basted, not too heavily, with a Midwestern-style sauce before being finished on the grill. Beef brisket, considered by experts to be the most challenging cut of meat in the barbecuer's repertoire, still needs work. Sometimes the thinly sliced beef approaches the difficult-to-achieve ideal of moistness, but more often is dry. Turkey breast suffers from the same inconsistency. Barbecue chicken fares well, though, thanks at least in part to the fact that it's brined before being smoked. You can get light or dark meat, or half a chicken. And if smoke just isn't your thing, fried North Carolina catfish, moist buttermilk-soaked nuggets, and a light crunchy batter won't disappoint. Plates come with an excellent hush puppies and your choice of two sides, which rise considerably above the barbecue joint norm in terms of variety and quality. Brunswick stew, enriched with smoked rabbit, pork, and chicken, is a must. Other winning options include fried okra, roasted sweet potato salad, creamy egg salad, and fresh, whole, cooked just until tender green beans. Corn pudding was dry when I sampled it, but it gets so many rave reviews, I'd happily give it another try. Whatever you do, don't miss the seasonal side. In the summer, a refreshingly parsley-spangled salad of roasted corn, tomatoes, and cucumbers showcase the local harvest. More recently, baked apples, richly spiced and cooked to caramel sweetness, stole the show. Desserts, too, are clearly more than an afterthought. Homemade banana pudding is classic, garnished with Nilla wafers and, if you like, whipped cream. Key lime pie on a crushed pretzel crust is a mouth-watering melange of creamy, crunchy, sweet, salty, and tart. And if the pumpkin cheesecake, a current feature, doesn't get you in the mood for fall, I don't know what will. Unlike most barbecue joints, Hillsboro Barbecue Company offers a well-stocked bar, breaking with sweet tea tradition with a small but well-chosen selection of draft and bottled beers, wines, and cocktails. If you were so inclined, you might raise a glass to preserving tradition and at the same time embracing change. Here's to the best of both worlds. Again, the Hillsboro Barbecue Company received 3.5 stars, located at 236 South Nash Street in Hillsboro. Phone number 732-4647. The next restaurant review I'm going to read is located in Raleigh, and it's for Cantina South, and they're located at 510 Glenwood Avenue, phone number 720-4778, and they too received 3.5 stars. Set into Cantina South's double front doors is a matched pair of large semicircular glass panes. Framing the panes, which form a perfect circle when the doors are closed, is a halo of painted-on flames, transforming the circle into an Aztec sun. The effect is striking and affords a sneak peek into a dining room whose mix of rustic and contemporary elements, primitive wooden farm implements on the walls, lizard motif floor tiles, and chandeliers fashioned from wine bottles, is well suited to its fashionable Glenwood South location. As it happens, those double glass panes also reveal a story that comes full circle with the July opening of Cantina South in the former Bogart space. Fans of Bogart's, which closed in February after a 10-year run, will no doubt recognize the doors, which, minus the flames, announce the Art Deco theme of that restaurant's retro decor. Kevin Summers, one of the original owners of Bogart's, sold his interest in the restaurant a few years ago, but he never lost interest in Glenwood South, nor forgot his observation that the popular nightlife district was missing a full-service Mexican restaurant. When the Bogart space came on the market, Summers teamed up with veteran restaurateur Bill Holt to fill that gaping hole with Cantina South. With an ambitious offering that ranges from guajillo and pasilla chili marinated carne asada to pescada tikkun zik, fish marinated in achiote, orange and garlic, steamed in a banana leaf, the menu lives up to its billing of bringing a modern twist to an old-world Mexican flavor. Fresh ingredients and scratch cooking are the rule, starting with guacamole prepared tableside. In addition to the excellent classic version, you can explore that modern twist angle with two variations on the guacamole theme, jazzed with chipotles, mango, and jicama, or grilled chilies and toasted pumpkin seeds. Watch out, that one packs a wallop. A ceviche of lobster and shrimp marries traditional and modern with two marinades, the traditional lime followed by a soak in pineapple and orange juices to temper the tartness. Toss with mango and avocado, it's worth the $11 splurge. Pozole Rojo is a faithful contemporary rendering of the classic soup. Chunks of North Carolina pork, hominy, and a barely wilted cabbage in an encuctus chili-infused broth. Platos de pata, deep-fried corn tortilla flutes filled with succulent shreds of deck confit, are another winning starter. Under the House Enchiladas heading, entree options include duck carnitas, braised beef, shredded chicken in a tomatillo salsa, and shrimp in a creamy sauce of goat cheese and pumpkin seeds. Burritos, carnitas, charbroiled chicken, and carne asada seem relatively tame by comparison. That is, until your waiter informs you of the nightly burrito special. Recently, the featured filling was a moist, lightly battered nugget of deep-fried rockfish tossed in buffalo sauce. Other specials have run a wildly eclectic gamut from the sloppy joe to tater tots in a burrito to a crispy cream cheeseburger burrito tribute to the state fair. Soft flour tortilla tacos, corn tortillas are available on request, seem pricey at first glance, around $12 for two tacos, $15 or so for three, including rice and beans. But the generosity and quality of the fillings, braised beef short rib, seared Mexican spiced lobster, and a vegetarian filling that includes the prized corn fungus hulacoche in a sufficient quantity that you can actually taste it, to name three, justify the tariff. Chili's Rellenos, filled with a savory, gooey hash of beef, pork, vegetables, and a Chihuahua cheese, are first rate. Pork tenderloin pibble is redolent of an exotic mix of Yucatan spices, but the dry meat fails short of its banana leaf wrapped promise. Miscues are infrequent, though, and usually minor. Pozole needs in need of a dash more salt, say, or a puddle of juices from a fruit salsita of pineapple, mango, and canned mandarin oranges, marred in otherwise exemplary flan. Pastel de chocolate, a ganache glazed layering of chocolate cake and coffee mousse, is a sure sweet tooth bet. Unless you prefer to drink your dessert, that is, in which case you can choose from more than 50 tequilas and house specialty cocktails, such as a prickly pear margarita and passion fruit mojito. This is Glenwood South, after all. Again, Cantina South received 3.5 stars, located at 510 Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh, and their phone number is 720-4778. And the next restaurant review is also in Raleigh, and this is for Babylon. And they're located at 309 North Dawson Street, phone number 838-8595. And they received 3 stars. You don't need an archaeologist permit to explore Babylon, the restaurant that is, not the ancient Mesopotamian city. But it doesn't hurt to have a good GPS. Accessible from a service road off southbound Dawson Street, Babylon is in a renovated 100-year-old knitting mill in a historically industrial district that's 3 blocks off Glenwood South, but it has been terra incognita to the nightlife crowd. That changed dramatically in June when Babylon opened to become a hotspot overnight. The restaurant no doubt owes part of its early success to the fact that owner Samad Hakby already had a strong following as owner of Mosaic, a popular bar on Glenwood South. And it certainly doesn't hurt that there's nothing else remotely like Babylon in the Triangle. Entering through a massive gate and a high brick wall attached to the front of the building, you find yourself in a spacious, secluded courtyard whose focal point is a stone and tile-clad pool with lighting that gradually morphs the color of its water from blue to green. A prime attraction since the restaurant's opening, the courtyard's appeal will naturally wax and wane with the seasons. But the visual drama is just as high indoors, where the furnishings, from marble floors to colorful mosaic tiles and lanterns, are almost exclusively from the owner's native Morocco. Hakby commissioned the jaw-droppingly ornate ceiling of the private banquet room, aptly named the Palace Room, which took 2 months to paint by hand in Morocco and another month to install here. The decor sets a suitable mood and a high bar for the mostly Moroccan-inspired menu. A passionate hobby cook who doesn't think of himself as a chef, Hakby usually clears the bar and only occasionally stumbles. He wisely limits his menu to manageable 8 or so entrees and a similar number of listings under the salads and tapas heading. Rounding out the list are a handful of vegetarian pizzas. A faithful rendering of Zalouk, which Hakby describes as a Moroccan ratatouille, features eggplant in an exotically spicy tomato sauce. Served cold, Zalouk is part of a vegetarian appetizer platter that also includes roasted peppers and Moroccan olives, making a fine, shareable, nibbling companion for the restaurant's rustic house-baked bread and a glass of wine from the small but thoughtfully chosen list. Hakby doesn't always insist on strict authenticity, though. His take on the classic Moroccan meat pie, chicken bastilla, is a prime example of a flexible approach whose goal is to capture the essence of a dish. In a nod to Western tastes, he tempers the honeyed sweetness that is characteristic of the cinnamon and saffron-spiced filling of chicken and toasted almonds. He strays from the traditional flat pie shape, too, rolling the phyllo pastry crust into an egg roll shape that's easier to eat with the hands. Bodega lamb straddles the Mediterranean, marrying spicy Moroccan harissa and Spanish romesco sauce to complement the skewers of grilled lamb and red peppers. The combination is inspired, though the dish is sometimes marred by chewy lamb. The braised lamb shank in a lamb tangine was surprisingly dry, too, when I sampled it. The meat was deeply flavorful, though, in a dark, sweet, savory sauce studded with prunes, apricots, and toasted almonds. Tangine samak, which features fresh fish, options have included sushi-grade salmon, monkfish, and recently grouper, topped with a pungent Moroccan parsley called tremola, is a more reliable bet. So is Marrakesh couscous, which serves up a succulent bone-in chicken over couscous that's moistened with the rich broth in which the chicken is simmered, and topped with a medley of chickpeas, raisins, and caramelized onions. I'll confess I wasn't expecting much from the pizzas. Figuring they were offered as a nod to the less adventurous taste, I hadn't even planned to order one. Then our waiter raved about them so enthusiastically that I changed my mind. And am I ever glad I did. Baked in a stone oven, the crisp, thin passain topped with tomato sauce, fresh mozzarella, grilled seasonal vegetables, and a drizzle of balsamic was a surprise hit. But maybe it shouldn't have been such a surprise. After all, the name of the place is Babylon. If Samad Hakby wanted to open a straightforward Moroccan restaurant, he could have named it Marrakesh. Again, Babylon received 3 stars, located at 309 North Dawson Street in Raleigh, phone number 838-8595. And this is from Cheap Eats. This month's tour of bargain dining destinations takes us from an old-fashioned country buffet to contemporary cafe with a Latin twist. Dame's Chicken and Waffles, and they're located at 317 West Main Street in Durham, phone number 682-9235. The cuisine, you can guess by the name, is fried chicken and waffles. In a nutshell, start with the best fried chicken in town. Add a scratch-made Belgian waffle, choosing among several variations on a theme. Put them on the same plate, and you've got a delightful update of a classic soul food combination. Try the light brown Leghorns, which are four drumsticks and a classic waffle with a chocolate hazelnut cream and caramel sauce. Quilted Buttercup, chicken cutlet sandwich between sweet potato waffles, topped with maple cream and candied pecans. Eva's Cafe, located at 2121-125 T.W. Alexander Drive in Morrisville, phone number 293-1050, and their cuisine is sandwiches. In a nutshell, single origin coffees and a modest but a varied selection of sandwiches and wraps with a Latin American accent make this little shop a lunchtime favorite with the RTP crowd. Try the homemade chicken soup with cilantro and avocado, chicken chipotle wrap, South American-style baked empanadas, chicken or beef, available only on Wednesdays and Fridays, and cardamom coffee. The Meadow Village Restaurant, and this is located at 7400 North Carolina 50 South in Benson, phone number 894-5430. Their cuisine is Southern. In a nutshell, a buffet rivaling the biggest Southern family reunion spread you can imagine is well worth the 40-minute drive from Raleigh. Get there early, or you may find yourself waiting another 40 minutes for a table. Try the chicken and pastry, fried chicken, fried flounder. Yes, the turnover is that fast. Collard greens, chicken salad, green beans, field peas, butter beans, biscuits. You get the idea. Just be sure to leave room for a sampling from the eye-popping display of homemade desserts, from banana pudding to signature chocolate pie. And the Wilmore Cafe, located at 223 South Wilmington Street in Raleigh, phone number 424-7422. The cuisine is coffeehouse and sandwiches, and in a nutshell, David Fowle, whose coffees at Cafe Udine won a loyal following, not to mention a few awards, before closing back in 2002, is back. This time around, he's pairing his caffeinated offering with a menu of locavore fare between two slices of bread. Try the Eastern North Carolina pork banh mi, house roasted turkey with avocado mousse, top hog's bacon and hoop cheese on La Farm bread, white or honey whole wheat, and braised coastal cattle beef brisket on a baguette. And we have time to read a couple of quick restaurant news. Chef sets farm to one table in Wilson. I've heard of farm-to-table restaurants, but never a farm-to-one-table restaurant. Such a restaurant, SoCo Food, opened a couple months ago in Wilson, which is 45 minutes east of Raleigh. Chef Jeremy Law, 37, and his wife, Kimberly Coolers, 32, converted an 1,800-square-foot garage on their 11-acre horse farm into a bed and breakfast to be able to serve dinner four nights a week. They grow organic vegetables. They planted 50 blueberry bushes and plan to raise chickens and goats next year. Law describes his food as Southern comfort with a modern twist, hence the restaurant's name. Law worked in Colorado for Chef James Mazzio, who was Food & Wine magazine's Best New Chef of the Year in 1999. Law most recently worked for Chef Vivian Howard of The Chef and the Farmer in Kinston. Dinner is by reservation only. You can come on Wednesdays and Thursdays for dinner at the community 14-seat table, or gather a group of at least 8 friends and make a reservation for Friday or Saturday nights. A 3-course meal costs $30. Four courses cost $40. It includes tea, water, bread, and French pressed coffee. It's bring your own booze. To make a reservation, call 252-243-8441. New wine bar to open at American Tobacco. Revolution chef and owner Jim Anil hopes to open a new wine bar at American Tobacco called La Uva Antarctica. The new restaurant is in the former Cafe Zen space and across the courtyard from Tyler's Tap Room. It has about 45 seats outdoors on a sleek patio with a movable bar and another 40 seats indoors. His wife, Teresa, says it will be a wine bar with food focus. It'll have an all-Italian wine list and rustic, faithful Italian dishes. We want it to be a place where everybody feels comfortable, she says. It's great, simple food that we want to eat ourselves. The executive chef will be Vito Parisi, who worked at Il Palio at the Siena Hotel in Chapel Hill for 6 years, where he worked with Jim Anil, and most recently at the Washington Duke Inn. Parisi grew up in Italy, attended culinary school, then spent 18 years working in Germany before coming to the United States. The restaurant will be open 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. every night except Sundays. And also in restaurant news, Savoy Chef at NoFo. Former Savoy Chef owner Peter Gibson is now the head chef at Raleigh's NoFo at the Pig. The news release said Peter was the chef owner of the popular Savoy, which sadly closed in May 2011. His devoted fans will be pleased to know he's cooking again and that he's teamed up with his former sous, Dan Gray, for his last stint, whose last stint was executive chef at Five Star. And Gibson fans will be happy to hear this. The NoFo menu will include his collards. For more information about the Five Points restaurant, go to www.nofo.com. A new pizzeria is opening. A new Neapolitan pizzeria, El Dante, has opened in the former Wildflower space in the Stonehenge Market Shopping Center in North Raleigh. Owner Paul Masicia says he has a custom-made, high-temperature, coal-fired oven to make pizza. The restaurant also serves classic and signature pasta dishes and offers takeout and catering. Masicia, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, it's M-A-S-C-I-A, who owns the restaurant with his wife, Laura, says he practically grew up in an Italian deli in New Jersey, and his family owns restaurants there. The casual, family-friendly restaurant has a bar with flat-screen televisions and an extensive wine list and offers live music on Thursday and Saturday nights. It is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, and 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., Saturday and Sunday. El Dante is at 7456 Creedmoor Road near Brugger's Bagels and Stonehenge Market. For more information, you can go to www.eldanteraleigh.com. And it looks like that we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.